great future. We're talking real money.
Another Saturday filled with money. Well, talk about money. I'm sorry, we're not filling it with money. Hi, welcome to Talking Real Money. I'm Don McDonald, and hanging out over there.
Yes.
That's Tom Cox.
Anxious, ready to go, because it's a huge day today,
Juiced up on 5-hour energy.
That's right. I got to be ready. So
what is so special about today?
I'm going to see Carlos Santana play tonight, who's my favorite all-time musician. So that's big for me.
Well, that is big for you.
So
yeah, that's like the highlight of the year.
Well, I mean,
most of the time you hang out at home mowing the grass.
That's about it. Yeah. So
and then in between mowing, watching it grow,
and dealing with the new dog, trying to get him.
Oh yeah,
not to
chew. Yeah.
I had the seat next to me on the couch stacked up with shoes and everything last night because he'd come in with a shoe and be like, "Give me that shoe." Put it up there. Give me the shoe. Put it out there. I had this big stack next to me. He's looking around. Why are you taking all this stuff from me, man? No, it's not for you.
The one that worried me was when you told me you took a paring knife off the counter.
We're not going to talk about that today.
I mean, a little doggy, little doggy death wish.
This is a Labrador
puppy you adopted.
Yeah, he's great.
And Labrador. How old is he?
He's 1 year old.
Oh, well, he's at the end of puppydom, but mm-hmm. they're still, my wife and I have owned lots of Labradors, and they are, they love to chew things.
They do.
They love to put things in their mouth.
So we have a lot of chewy things for them. But, and
No, those aren't the ones they want.
Doesn't matter,
And
I think the shoe thing is more, because he has the shoe, and he comes up with the shoe and looks at you like, "Hi. You want to come after me now for the shoe?"
Like, right, because it's such a fun game.
Anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm sitting here watching the grass grow.
You want to really throw him a curve?
Yeah.
Put a long leash on him. And then let him get the shoe. And then start to chase him and just boom.
You're stuck.
You're here, dude.
My daughter figured out how to block off part of the kitchen, so she runs him into the blocked off part, so she doesn't have to go round and round. Anyway, I'm not chasing anymore. I'm not chasing anymore. So, not chasing returns. Not chasing dogs. I'm not doing any of that anymore. I'm too old.
And that is good advice for all of you listening. No chasing. Stop chasing.
Well, because it's been a great year, and many of you may be thinking about chasing.
Holy cow. I didn't realize how good a year it had been. We've had if the year ended today,
kind of hope
it would
does.
Be a great year.
Yeah.
It would go down in history as a really great year for stocks.
Yeah, because the S&P 500's made about 18. That's a lot of money. If you owned a more diversified portfolio, what do they say about diversification? Love means you never have to say you're sorry. Diversification means you always have to say you're sorry, because some things are going up not as fast as other things.
Actually, diversification means you have to say you're sorry when the U.S. market is doing well and the international markets aren't doing well, but it also means you get to gloat when the U.S. market does poorly. So
which happens.
Works out.
So anyway, but 100% in stocks globally oriented, 13.3%. So you made more being in just the S&P 500.
And, excuse me. Oh, there. That's nothing to sneeze at.
I thought so.
No,
most of you have probably some bonds in there, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, up just less than 9%. And most of you do not own a thing called REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. You should. They've made 17. By the way, we brought along the market historian today because it's his last day of working with us. We're working with Vestry. He's retiring and starting that off with a trip. I think he's like driving through the Southwest, and then he's getting on a plane to go to Ireland. I have no idea. Maybe he's trying to escape extradition. But so we'll be talking.
Is he
to
our
Bill
advisor
Higgins.
Emeritus now?
Yeah. So we'll be talking with Bill Higgins a little bit. And if you don't call, what do they win, Don?
Well, actually, if you don't call, then Bill is a data fiend.
He
just loves information. So Bill is going to rattle off the market numbers back to 1926 for
starting
you.
Starting small
in
small value.
In January of 1926 and going through month by month.
Yeah. It's
until we reach 2019,
which he can do. I've seen him do that. So Bill Higgins will be here talking with us. Bill's been a great advisor.
So if you think this conversation is boring, just wait.
could get a whole lot worse very quickly. So, yeah, you back to where you started.
You want to give the number?
Oh, I didn't. We didn't do that. It makes it tougher.
We did not do it. It makes it hard to call if people don't know the number.
Okay, go ahead.
And since you wrote it down earlier today, I'm going to give you the honor that you cannot memorize this number to save your life.
I know. Well, that's why I have Bill here. 855-935-TALK. I have no idea how to get talk in the number. 8255. Okay, I remember that. 855-935-8255. So call us, questions, anything money related, 401ks, IRAs, want to buy a house, want to sell a house, want to do whatever it is. All those money things you're thinking about. We're here to help.
Yeah, and we're here also to help you determine whether or not the people you deal with who deal with your money are actually looking out for you.
New article about that, too. Yeah.
We're going to talk about a few things, but the most important thing we can do on this show is talk with you, is help you find answers, help you get this straight, help you find the best path to the best future. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you need a little help with your investments? Set up a free, no-obligation appointment with one of our advisors at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
One of the few shows on the radio that tells it like it really is and like it really ought to be in this industry. You want the truth about money? You can handle the truth. I think you can handle it. I'm not going to yell at you and tell you you can't handle
it. You might yell. You do a little yelling. You get kind of upset.
I don't. I don't get upset at the callers as much as
true.
I get upset at the people.
Yeah, but have you ever noticed people call you and they call you and they say, I know I'm doing this wrong, but I'm going to tell you anyway. They're scared. They think you're going to bite their head off or something.
Don't be scared of me. I'm not mad at you. Mm-hmm. I'm mad at the people who did what they did to you. You shouldn't. This is one of the problems with this whole concept of caveat emptor, buyer beware. How do you know what to beware of?
If you don't know, you don't know.
You can't know how to shop for an advisor unless somebody taught you how. And I don't seem to remember that being a course in high school or college.
And even firms you thought you could trust, like Vanguard, are looking at things like private equity.
Oh, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Goodness.
I am not a happy camper, Vanguard. I am not happy with you, Vanguard. Again, why do people keep playing this game? It's just stupid.
Because they're not making enough in stocks.
Oh,
man.
Right.
Not making.
855-935-TALK is our phone number. 855-935-8255. We know some firms who thought they could take what makes perfect sense and make it even more special for you. And it didn't work out. We'll talk about that too. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. Save us from Bill spouting
he's
numbers.
He's standing there in the wings.
He's ready to go. He's dying.
Yeah,
he's chomping at the bit.
He's got 1926 queued up and ready to go.
But Ben saved us all.
Oh,
thanks Ben.
Ben.
Welcome to Talking Real Money.
How can we help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Hey, I have a son who just started a new job, and he's a federal employee, so he has access to the Thrift Savings Plan.
Yes, great plan.
It has a small match with it, but I've always been a fan of the Roth, and he currently has a Roth IRA. So my question to you is, can he put some money into the Thrift Savings Plan to get his match? And then put the rest of it or more money into a Roth IRA? And if so, what's the limit on all of that?
Well, now first, before we get to the Roth IRA, the TSP offers a traditional and a Roth option.
No, there's no Roth option at the TSP.
I'm looking right at it.
This came up recently. Somebody was in the office telling me that there was
TSP,
no.
TSP.gov. Hmm. It says here, you can choose between two tax treatments. This is directly from TSP.gov.
Must be new.
You can choose between two tax treatments for your TSP contributions, traditional pre-tax or Roth after-tax.
Who knew the federal government would be so doggone progressive?
And this is at TSP.gov.
That's actually news to me, Ben, because the last time I talked to somebody about that, they had the same complaint that they couldn't do Roth.
I just ran into it with a question on the podcast, so that's how I knew this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the question I have, though, is I'm not sure with the TSP Roth that he would qualify for the match.
You Oh, maybe that's the okay. Maybe you have to put a certain amount in the. I'm queuing Bill here because he's still thumbing through 1926. He's working his way to August. Maybe that's the key. You have to put at least up to the match in the pre-tax. Then you could do the Roth. Now, your son, I imagine, is under the age of 50.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, I don't. You never know. Yeah, he just got a job.
I just got him out of the house.
He's
53
years old. I'm not making. I have no idea. So, under the age of 50, the maximum for an IRA, a Roth IRA, Bill, is how much? In 2019, I think it's
$6,000 without the match.
Yeah, $6,000.
$6,000. So he could do $6,000 in the Roth IRA, no matter what. That's he could do that no matter what he's doing at the federal government. Okay. Now, in terms of what he could do at in the TSP under the age of 50, I think it's $19,000. So he could do $19,000.
Okay.
Yeah. In pre or post tax in the TSP and still do the Roth IRA. So there's a lot of money to be saved there.
Yeah. And then, but isn't there a maximum for all your retirement money?
Well, no. In that case, the maximum would be
the max is those
19
yeah.
plus for the retirement account at the federal government, and then the $6,000 in the Roth outside of that. So $25,000.
Now, do me a favor,
the matching money counts toward that though, right?
No, it does not. Does not count.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Okay.
But here, do me a favor. Have him check with his personnel department at this particular branch, because I just pulled up a PDF from the TSP, and from what I'm reading here, it doesn't matter what the type of account is, whether it's pre or post. It qualifies for the matching contribution.
That's a little mysterious, as I say, because this came up in a recent visit. But you said you looked into this.
This is a brand new document from TSP.gov, and it says that both are eligible. So to have him check with his personnel people, this may be something that they're just not aware of yet. But it looks like both are eligible. I can't be 100% without reading every letter of this document, which is about 50 pages long. But
not to be too not to pry too much, but what's his salary roughly going to be?
Oh, I think he's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 to 70.
So, I would be tempted to have him just do Roth only if you can still get the match with that, because you're going to get all those years between ages 53 and 70. No kidding. All those years between his early 20s and retirement hopefully in his 60s tax-free, which is such a tremendous advantage and a real reason that people, young people especially, should be really just firing all that money into a Roth rather than a pre-tax. Because remember, in the pre-tax, you're going to get the growth tax-free, but then when you start taking it out, you pay regular income tax on it. So,
right. That's why I'm such a fan of it.
Yeah.
The other one that a lot of people don't think about, and I don't even hear this talked about much, is the requirement to withdraw from a traditional IRA where you're not required to withdraw from a Roth.
Yep. At age 70 and a half, you have to start taking out the money. It's 3.6% the first year. It goes up. It actually goes down a little bit. Then anyway, so yes, there's a lot of reasons for a young person to put that away, again, depending on their current tax situation to some extent. But with all those years of tax-free growth, it's a pretty good deal.
And here you go, Ben. I did this while Tom was talking. If you go to talkingrealmoney.com, and on the very front page, there's an older woman with headphones in, and it says Explore Show Topics. I have uploaded a link to that TSP document so that you can go in there and read that.
Wow,
you and your son
good.
Can go read it.
And you can go to 401411.com and see our recommendations for the TSP.
There you go. Look at how
all
helpful
right.
we are
today. All set up and ready to go. Congratulations on getting him out of the house before age 60. I think that is terrific. Really, no, kidding, Ben. Thank you for calling us.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that mine got out in her 20s.
Exactly.
And now I'm feeling better. 855-935-TALK. That's our phone number. Give us a call. We want to help you manage money better.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just about everything you need to know about money can be found at our website, TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
How many advisors does it take to figure out the TSP plan? Well, I guess it's three in
three.
This case. I guess
three.
We got that one done. So we did. Okay, here was the problem. The money that the match, that they make the match, that goes in to the pre-tax.
That makes sense.
A requirement of any retirement plan, by the way.
That amount would go in pre-tax. Yep. You'd have to pay taxes on it at some point in the future, which makes perfect sense. But all the rest of these contributions, according to everything I read, and I put that document up at TalkingRealMoney.com under the Explore Show Topics area. It just says TSP document. It says that Roths are fine there now.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, but it was just that the match has to go in pre-tax. Perfect.
Right.
All right, we've got Bill waiting, but let's go to the phones. Go back to the phones because Carl.
We can let Bill wait as long as we want.
Yeah, he's going to wait until, 2025 or whatever it is, so if he makes it that far. Hey, Carl, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're doing great. How can we help you?
Don, thanks for your physics book. It's really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so here's my question. You folks talk about the one of the things is that Vanguard World Stock Fund.
VT Wax.
Right, okay. What about a world fund, it's actually ETF, that emphasizes dividends? It's called ticker symbol DWX, David Walter X-Ray.
Why, that would be an ETF, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so, generally, here's the problem with focusing on dividends. When you do that, number one, you eliminate many companies because many companies don't pay a dividend. The other thing that people they think they're getting a free lunch when it comes to dividends. Bill, are they getting a free lunch?
Not in the least. No, that comes out of whatever earnings there are.
We're not hearing him. Try that again. There he is.
It comes directly out of whatever earnings the company has, so it's no free lunch at all. In fact, most funds that pay or high dividend tend to earn less over the long term.
So that's part two.
There's also a part three and a part four.
Yeah.
Well, one, this fund, the S&P, the Spider S&P International Dividend Fund, is only international stocks. It is only 97 stocks. It is
how much?
66% very large cap, no small cap stocks whatsoever. And its fee structure is shouldn't be high because it's an S&P fund, but pretty high. 0.45 for an ETF is pretty high.
So the reason that we believe in the VT WAX, the Vanguard World Fund, remember, in that fund, you get 8,800 securities, exposure to a much wider market. You get it at a lower cost.
Much.
You're making a bet here on large companies that over time have been less productive than smaller firms going back to 1926. If you want, Bill can go year by year on this. Do you want to have him do that, Don? Small versus large year by year?
No, we're good. People are calling to save us all from that.
Does that help, Carl?
Okay, it does. Thanks so much. You guys do a great job.
Thank you very much.
Sir,
and there's a simplicity aspect that I love about that fund, too. I mean, you really own a globally... This is something, by the way, we got to give Bill credit here because he is actually retiring. We kind of teased him. But we used to, with our friend Paul Merriman, Paul had a 10-fund portfolio, 10 stock funds, et cetera. And what we found was people just didn't do it.
Or stick with it.
Yeah, it's very hard. And this fund...
They didn't rebalance it. That was just a pain in the neck.
It's a lot of work. So this fund does that for you, and they do it at such a low cost.
Well, we do give up a few things, though, in this process. We give up some of the things that we do for our clients, which is giving them exposure to what kinds of things, Bill?
Small cap and value.
Right.
Wow, that's the shortest answer he's given in like 6 years with the company. I don't know.
He probably heard the music coming up and knew that we had to go to a break.
Thank you for
that. So, the VTWAX2 has thousands of stocks where that dividend thing had less than 100.
Yeah.
And diversification, will save you down the road in really volatile, violent markets. So you want that. 855-935-TALK is the number. You also want to call us.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I believe in helping everybody become a better investor. That's why we offer lots of free knowledge at TalkingRealMoney.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
855-935-TALK is the number to call us to talk about the money issues that impact your life and really, really have a long-term impact on how you're going to live in the future. Give us a call right now, 855-935-TALK. And before we move on to another topic, Tom, during the break, I was doing a little research on VT Wax.
Yes.
VTWAX, the Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund. And Carl called and asked about a dividend ETF. And that dividend, that international dividend ETF that he asked about had a dividend of about 3.5% currently.
Which is quite a bit higher if you look at, I think, all stocks, it's closer to about 2%.
That's exactly what I ran the numbers on Vanguard, and it's 2. But the reality is, though, that that really isn't that big a spread when you realize the things you're giving up to get that extra dividend, the potential growth you're giving up. And sometimes in dividend portfolios, the risks, the volatility is higher.
So oftentimes, I mean, high dividend paying stocks pay high dividends for reasons, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes to attract people to buy their stock.
Sometimes because they're in trouble.
Yeah. So there's to me, people again think they're getting a free lunch and they are not. Bill pointed out that that is just reconfigured into the share price very quickly.
And so, the way you can tell that it's refigured and that it's calculated into the share price is watch what happens the day after a stock goes ex-dividend. It goes down by the amount of the dividend. It's definitely not a free lunch. Your stock goes down by that amount.
Yeah. So our take is own a globally diversified portfolio. Keep your costs low. Don't look for tricks. And by the way, one of the tricks, if you're thinking about retirement, is taking the biggest part of most people's retirement, which is Social Security, at the right time. The numbers are astounding. New study this week, $3.4 trillion in losses because people take Social Security at the wrong time. Most of the time, too early. That's $110,000 per household. That's a lot. Now, I know Bill Higgins, our advisor who's retiring, he's going to wait till age 70. The good news is we're having him terminated at 69 and a half to save us all a lot of money. So that's going to eliminate that. But this is a tragedy.
You joke about that, though.
Are we really doing it?
There is a counter argument that I have heard raised a lot recently.
Go ahead.
And I'm talking in the last month or two.
Yeah.
There is a great deal of talk on Capitol Hill among various experts in the field, academics and the like, about the prospects of Social Security being forced to reduce benefits even for current retirees, particularly those in higher tax brackets.
And what would, as an advisor, Bill, what would you tell people about that?
Same thing we tell everybody is that now you're speculating on the future, and we generally do our planning based on what we know. And what we don't know is what Congress will do in the future. We don't know how the funding gap will be made up. You're right, Don. I've read the same things. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know how it's going to be addressed and what the political pressure will be of cutting people's benefits.
He's just too rational to be a financial advisor. You know, that's scary.
What about the other argument, Bill? And it's great. I can ask you these questions instead of somebody asking me.
or asking me and get the wrong number. I mean,
what about the other argument, the longevity argument?
Yeah.
If you have a family, you know, you're from a family that doesn't live much past 80, aren't you better off taking it early?
Well, certainly, that's a consideration. Also, you have to know what your own health status is. I mean, if you have an issue or a chronic disease that your doctor diagnoses, yes, then it could easily make sense to take it earlier. It's not just one size fits all. You have to look at each particular circumstance. But the study that Tom talked about showed that, 58% of the population would do best by waiting until 70, yet
it's like 1% wait.
Yeah, 4% according to the Social Security Administration. So that's why they said there's a lot of money left on the table, because so many people could benefit from it, but very few people do.
By the way, in my household, the longer I wait, the better off my wife and her boyfriend will be after I'm gone.
Now, that's the other
makes
argument.
Sense.
Is
I mean, they get the big benefit.
So I get that.
I'm trying to be a good person here, bigger person. So I get that. But in all seriousness, this should be, I think people think financial advisors are picking stocks, timing markets, making people more money. We don't know how to make you more money. We know how to position your assets the best we know looking back over 90 years. But a good financial advisor, this should be at the core of any planning because it's such a big part of most people's retirement, right?
We look at it with our tools, absolutely.
And you just gotta have the right Social Security strategy as a part of retirement income. The other part, the other mistake I see people making, Don, is they take it while they're still working.
Oh,
so they give all half that back to the government
in taxes.
Yeah,
they gotta give it back because they're making money on it.
Horrible.
855-935-TALK. That's our phone number. Give us a call. We want to help you manage your money better than you have in the past.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
It may not be the sexiest website in the world, but it's your one-stop shop for real money information, talkingrealmoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Again, our number, 855-935-8255. Give us a call during the show or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And you keep us from having to put Bill on the show. Bill Higgins, who's retiring.
He snuck in anyway.
He has no key anymore. He has no phone.
That's
he has no
true.
Computer. But he's watching. He's watching us. Anyway, so Bill Higgins will be here during the show, citing all those exciting returns numbers, unless you call. I do want to close out the Social Security. So the part that we failed to mention is that every year you wait to take the benefit, you get an 8% a year increase plus inflation.
Right.
Now, there's no investment I know that offers that sort of consistent returns. And
right.
if they do, check the label carefully, because there's some weird cooking going on there.
But
so,
again, I want to go back to that longevity issue.
Yeah.
During the break, I took my own personal Social Security. I'm 63 years old, although I sound much younger, I know.
Oh, yeah. You look a lot younger, too.
And
trust me.
Oh, my gosh.
Goes without saying.
I got carded for alcohol yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So
I'm sure you got red carded for alcohol, but go ahead.
Well, okay. Yeah. That happens. No, it was only when I was younger that I got that. I've mellowed in my old age. I just calculated the difference between 63 and 70. If I took the money, which I wouldn't do because I have a job and make money, but if I took it today and could somehow get by for the next 7 years, and I invested it at 4% and then kept it invested at 4% and withdrew it on a regular basis, that money would, I would have the same benefit as waiting until 70 as long as I die before 83. So, my break even would be 83.
So wait a minute, you're 4%. Not spending it; you're investing.
Investing it,
okay.
Correct.
Because we do get people sometimes who ask, "What if I took the money out and invested?"
Yeah. Yep.
I still wouldn't do that, but that you're.
I'm just saying, there's an 83 year old break, and this is why it's kind of important to run numbers.
Yeah.
And you made that point before the break.
Mm-hmm.
People just. You can't see to the pants your retirement.
No.
It's really a bad idea.
And any advisor, this should be at the center of that. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Oh, most of the time it's, hey, Bill's we got a great mutual fund for you.
Yeah, right, generally. Go ahead, Bill.
I just have one question, Don. Did you take the taxes out first?
Oh, no. I assumed that I was taking it out without tax, that I had there was some other source of income just supporting me. I was just doing it roughly.
Good point.
It's probably after taxes and all, it's probably more like 80.
Yeah, I mean, again, generally the lines cross at about 79, 80 years old. Yes.
Yeah, about 80 years old.
If you have no longevity, then probably at least wait till full retirement age.
Yeah, because the difference it was a huge difference between now and full retirement age.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mine is 66 and 9 months, I think.
I'm 66 and 7.
Okay. Yeah, it's slowly going up.
There is one more thing that we talk with people if they're couples. A lot of times the older person of the couple is male and has been the breadwinner. The longer he, it's usually a he, defers.
Yep.
That provides a lifetime survivor's benefit after he goes for his wife, who would have had to settle for a smaller benefit.
Yeah.
So oftentimes the decision to defer is for the higher benefit person, the person that's going to get the bigger benefit, because it's not just him that falls in the equation, it's his surviving spouse.
I thought I mentioned that my surviving spouse and her boyfriend need a lot of money. They're big spenders.
Well, see, but so, we only heard the boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I think about, I guess, because I'll be laying there thinking, my benefit's gone anyway. So,
855-935-TALKS, the number. Sue, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Sue.
Hi.
What's up, Sue?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm a retired teacher out 2 years, and I have a 403B with Vanguard, and I've been advised to switch it to an IRA, and I can switch the entire amount with the same funds in a Vanguard IRA, and I want to know if there's any downside to that.
Advised by whom?
Somebody who's a tax accountant.
There should be no difference in tax treatment between the two.
No, and there'd be no difference in the withdrawal strategy. You wouldn't have to take more than one or the other. I mean, my only take would be maybe there's some costs in the 403B mm-hmm. that you would not endure in an IRA. That might be a saving of some kind.
Well, I think a third party, and I don't know,
administrator,
school district jumped in. Yeah. And I don't know if they get a cut of it.
They get something. Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure they do. Sure
then
they
do. That may be, but it's not going to be a gigantic savings, and it's not going to change the tax treatment in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. You move that from a 403B to a traditional IRA, just do a direct transfer. It's so much easier than a rollover and taking possession of the money and possibly goofing up and then, you know,
now, it might be easier for
benefit.
Your heirs if you have money left in an IRA to get the money than a 403B.
Well, and that's what I'm kind of thinking long term. I understand I can probably eliminate the third party, and I can also have direct
TOD.
Checks paid to charitable
QCD.
Yeah.
Qualified charitable distributions. Yes, I don't know that you can even do that from a 403B. Probably not.
Probably
you
not.
You could do that from an IRA, where you can just directly send the money from the IRA to a charity. And then you don't have to pay tax on it. So that would be an advantage that the tax person would come up with. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's what the angle is of this tax account.
Absolutely do it. Just do a direct transfer.
Yeah, just do direct transfer, move that over. Yes, I see no reason not to do that.
Okay. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue. And since we're talking about Vanguard, I mean, I got to wonder when I read this stuff, if John Bogle's been gone now how long? I mean, like 6 months or something?
They couldn't wait for him to get in the ground.
You know, and here they are, big headline, Vanguard feels the lure of private equity. Okay, Bill, what is private equity?
A lot of times you got me. I don't know what the heck is in. Usually it's private companies that are not
publicly
traded.
It's companies that haven't gone public yet.
Usually, but it's not transparent generally. Wouldn't you agree, Don, that the you don't know what you own?
It's more opaque than opaque.
And you don't know, really, it's not just you don't know what you own, you don't know when you're going to get your money back.
Or you don't know if you will ever get your money back.
Well, the return of my capital, not the return on my capital. Yeah.
I mean, really, most private equity is, you know how you can, through a piece of opaque glass, you can at least see shadows? It's like completely blacked out glass.
Well,
they really don't have to disclose a lot.
The only reason you would do this is... you think you're going to make more than the public markets provide. It would have to be, right? Because you're taking more risk.
Yeah, apparently somebody at Vanguard has either a screw loose or really has just determined they've fallen under the spell of some private equity group somewhere. And you know, the one who's to blame is Tim Buckley.
Yeah, he's saying I'm going along. I mean, we're going to at least look. We're not going to close off any options. Do we know of any study that shows that managers of private equity have made more than publicly traded markets?
None.
I can't. Cite one? I can't find one.
No. Because, but see, the thing you hear about are the outliers.
Oh, I bought Amazon. Mm-hmm. I got into right. Amazon when it was blank, or I got into right. some other tech firm when they were starting out, and I'm now a multimillionaire.
I got
sure.
into Slack when it was right. private, and Slack had a big IPO and made people a lot of money.
They don't
great.
Tell you about the 9 other ones that didn't work out.
Yeah, pets.com.
thank you for reminding us of that. But I don't know why Vanguard, we just looked, is approaching how much?
5.6 trillion,
almost
I think.
6 trillion. Yeah. Isn't that good
but
enough?
They say they're in talks with three private equity groups, one in Boston, one in London, and one somewhere else. And I just don't know what is wrong
I'm
with doing
I'm glad John Bogle didn't live to see this.
Me too. He would be furious. 855-935-TALK. Give me a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Would you like to talk to a real investment advisor for free? Set up an appointment at talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Everybody's favorite learning and feeding event is back on in July. Tom's conducting another of his previously all sold out Luncheon events, The Science of Retirement Income, on July 24th in Bellevue. You get a great lunch and a great education over lunch, and you'll walk away going, oh, investing now makes a whole lot more sense to me. So these do sell out because it's a small event. So get your tickets right now at talkingrealmoney.com. That's talkingrealmoney.com.
That the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.